And welcome everyone to another episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. With me is Alan, who's fighting through some COVID issues, but is a trooper and here with us tonight.
And singing bass.
Yeah. And also with us is Fred.
As long as Alan don't sing, I'm staying.
So guys, it's, you know, we took a little break there over the holidays, and then you know, obviously, Alan has some COVID issues going through his family right now. So, but again, just appreciate him taking the time to jump on the podcast here with us, because I know it has been a while. And we actually do have some news to talk about. I was joking with the guys beforehand that I had sent out a question on Twitter and on Facebook asking for questions for the podcast tonight, because we didn't really have anything to talk about even after not recording for a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, we got the Lindor trade news, and now we got plenty to talk about. But before we get into that, we were also talking beforehand about, you know, just really the lack of decision making from Major League Baseball, and how, you know, I wrote earlier, I think it's kind of ruining the sport and, you know, completely freezing this off season. And yes, I know teams, you know, cutting costs and not wanting to spend because of revenue being down. I mean, when you have teams like the Cubs who are shedding money, that's just not a good look for baseball. But I think part of it too, and I think the majority of it has to do with the fact that we don't know what the season is going to look like. We still don't have any clue what the upcoming season is going to look like. We don't know how many games we're going to play. We don't know exactly when the season is going to start. We think we know that there won't be a DH in the National League, but that kind of still feels like it's up in the air. We don't know if fans are going to be in attendance. You got owners that don't want to start the season unless there's fans in attendance, and unless every player and every staff member has a COVID vaccination. You got players, you know, saying, well, we just played a season without fans, so why can't we do it now? So, you know, you have another big battle likely brewing. I know Alan's working on an article about that as well, but, guys, I'm just kind of fed up with Major League Baseball. And I mean, here we are in January and we don't know what the upcoming season is going to look like. And Alan, it's really frustrating as a fan. And I think it's holding back general managers from really wanting to make any moves.
It absolutely is. And here we are on January 7th, as we record this. Reporting dates are going to be roughly February 15, 16, somewhere in that neighborhood for pitchers and catchers. So here we are roughly 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks ahead of that, and a vast majority of the free agents remain unsigned. The Braves still haven't done anything really of substance since they signed the two pitchers back in November. And what I see is a real dichotomy between teams. You've got the teams that can spend money or are willing to spend money, like the Mets, and you've got the teams that are desperately trying to shed money, like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, the Rockies, although they haven't done it yet. You've got almost a predatory relationship now between the haves and the have-nots of baseball. And that's where I think some teams are trying to take advantage of the folks that need to get rid of money. But beyond that, nothing's happening. there's a real opportunity for some teams like the Braves to get some money spent and do something to make a splash and to be able to set up their roster for a real good World Series run. And while we celebrated the idea that Alex Anthopoulos did some real good work to start the offseason, we're now sitting here on January 7th kind of going, did he do enough? Did he do the right things? Did he act too early? And how's he going to respond? So we'll get to some of that later. But all this speaks to the uncertainty of the financial situation of a lot of teams. We are faced with a specter of perhaps another economic shutdown as the new administration comes in and tries to eradicate this virus. And all that does not bode well for the economics of baseball, because if a third of the income of teams comes from ticket sales and concessions and merchandise stuff sold in stadiums, they're not going to have that, and they're not going to have that anytime in the foreseeable future. All that conspires together to set up a situation where the owners are not wanting to do 162 games, and the players definitely want to do 162 games. We're set up for a battle.
Yeah, Fred, who's going to win this battle?
Nobody. Okay, that's the easy answer. Because in the end, when you get negotiations going on, or we'll call them negotiations because this is a family show, when you get negotiations going on between two parties who don't like each other, they just do not. And Clark thinks that MLB short-sheeted him, lied to him in 2016. And we have a lawyer in Rob Manfred who treats everybody he talks to like he's in court. That's not a good way to do it. When you do those things, it is like a lawsuit. Nobody actually wins in the lawsuit except the lawyers. In this case, there are no lawyers. Nobody's going to win this at all. Baseball's going to suffer for it. The fans are going to suffer for it. The players are not going to get what they want. MLB's the owners are not going to get what they want. And the whole bad part about this is this knocks on across the minor league system, minor league players, the draft. It turns people away from the game. Kids, young people, we need out there playing the sport to be the future of the sport, to be the new Lindors, the new Betts, the new Acuñas, and the new Albies. We need those kids out there learning to play, loving the game. And this doesn't look like fun. Baseball's supposed to be fun, and you're supposed to watch it and have fun watching it. And they're not making it that way. And to Alan's point about the money, this whole thing, the owners are losing money. Okay, I don't care how you want to spend that. I know the owners got deep pockets and they got all this money. Well, maybe that's true. But I know they have money, but they can't throw it all at a baseball team every year. You can't throw money at a baseball team that's not making money every year. So in the end, there needs to be some kind of rapprochement, as they used to say. These teams need to get down and say, look, we need to play ball. And if you're going to be honest, we're going to be honest. We're going to do these things. But I don't see them doing that. These two guys are circling each other like two fighters who are supposed to be in a bout. And all they want to do is jab from long distance. And nobody wants to go in and talk and set this out. And I think everybody loses in this case. The players are losing. The fans are certainly losing. Baseball as a whole is losing. I don't know any way to do it, any way to get out of it. Lock them in a room and tell them to stay there till they get a solution. They don't get out. Your food comes through the door, it'll be in a little bottle. So you just stay there until you get something down that makes sense. But other than that, this ain't going to happen. And I expect you get the November surprise just before the elections. I expect a February surprise. Well, hey, we got a DH in the National League. Everybody be happy. Jump up and down. And that's not going to make me jump up and down. I mean, even I've accepted the DH is coming, but this could have been done in October, November. And sitting around twiddling your thumbs and barking at each other is just disgusting.
Yeah, and that's kind of my whole point of this is, we're 2 months into the offseason and nothing has been announced. And, obviously we don't know what conversations are going on behind doors or if they're even going on, which is even more frustrating. We don't know that they're even discussing these things or even are close to coming to a decision. And like you said, I think it's just very bad for the sport of baseball as a whole. Neither side seems to be want to cooperate. Neither side wants to give an inch. And like you said, Brett, we all just suffer. We all lose in that situation. And that's the unfortunate part of baseball right now. And I don't know what the solution is. Hopefully once this next CBA is up, after this coming up season, the two sides will have to get together at that point, and they got a lot to talk about and a lot to figure out. And I can just hope that after all that said and done, that baseball's in a better position moving forward. But it's just hard to picture that right now. One other thing to note here, since we're kind of talking about the start of the season and some decision makings, one thing we do know that has been announced is that AA level and below will not start until after teams leave their spring training sites. So we do know that the minor league seasons for at least double A and below will be delayed, which again is a shame because like Fred said, we need these kids playing. We need them developing. We need them to love the sport. You know, you're always scared of that out of sight, out of mind. You know, these kids take a year off and maybe they find other things to do. You know, they need to make money. They need to have their own lives, their own careers. You hope that's not killing the game there, but we did get news that those levels will be delayed to start the season. But that's your bad news portion of the podcast. Well, I guess it's not really. There's more bad news coming for Braves fans because the real big news of the day is that the Mets have traded for not just Francisco Lindor, but also Carlos Carrasco. I think, you know, Carrasco is getting kind of lost in the mix as well, but that was a big pickup for the Mets as he'll be inserted into their starting rotation. And, you know, we've been waiting on that first big move from Steve Cohen. I know he signed James McCann earlier in the offseason, which to me kind of seemed like a downer from the fact that they seemed to be in on JT Realmuto. So I was happy with them signing McCann, but this is the first big domino that has dropped for the Mets this offseason, trading for Lindor. I think, you know, like we all talked about before, it seemed like the obvious move, so it wasn't much of a surprise. And like I think I mentioned when we were talking before, you know, I think he's there to stay. I don't think the Mets make this move unless they plan to sign him long term, like what the Dodgers did with Mookie Betts last offseason. So I think Lindor will be in the NL East for a long time, be playing shortstop for the Mets, and that's certainly bad news for Braves fans, but great if you're a fan of the game and want to watch one of the best shortstops because he's an exciting player. He's fun to watch. And I think most baseball fans just like Lindor in general. He seems like a great guy to cheer for. So I'll enjoy watching them even though the Braves have to go up against them. But Fred, I'll get your thoughts first just on the trade as a whole. And I'd have to look it up real quick. I forgot all the names involved, but I know them. Okay, go ahead.
Well, the thing for the trade is, did they get value for this? Well, no, they didn't get value for it. There's no way that you could get Rivera. They got Andrés Giménez and Amed Rosario, both major league players. Giménez was a top 100 prospect, and he just barely aged out of a prospect. So if you consider the major league player plus Giménez as a top 100 prospect, they could play those two guys up the middle and solve their middle infield defense, provide Rosario good round of hits. And then you got Josh Wolf and Isaiah Green. Neither one of those guys have actually played yet. One was drafted in 2019. One was drafted 2020. A pitcher and an outfielder. The outfielder is a center fielder kind of guy. He's supposed to be really fast. He's got a good hit tool, nice left-handed swing, they tell me. But he's years away. You know, he's years away because he hasn't picked up a bat and swung it in a game, and the pitcher hasn't thrown a pitch in anger yet. So those guys are away. So this is clearly not the best deal possible for him, which begs the question. We know they've been shopping him for nearly a year, actually. They've been listening to offers, and nobody offered them anything. And that's why Lindor went to the Mets. Nobody offered them anything better. Now, you can say it's not enough. That's true. In a pure value thing, he should have got something, maybe not what Betts got, because he's not quite that player. But he should have got more for him than Giménez and Rosario. No offense to those guys. They're good major league players. They will be. But the reason that he went to the Mets for this was because nobody else offered anything better. When you say they didn't get enough, who else was offering anything? And the answer is nobody. So you take the best offer you can get. They needed to move his money off. They've got something like $40 million on the books for next year, and only 16 or 18 of that is guaranteed. They're not going to trade Jose Ramirez now. Why should they? He makes $9 million. And they need somebody there. The fans will know, oh, hey, I know that guy. He's Cesar Ramirez. So you know, they've got Ramirez, they've got Bieber, they've got a couple pitchers. Then they're going to be awkward to play. But the Mets really are all in for this, as Alan wrote earlier today. They are in a position now where, and the only reason they were able to do this, by the way, is because Cano went and stubbed his toe and gave away his money for the year. Because him being gone is paying for Lindor for this year. So, but they have now, if you look around the infield, first base, we've got an advantage there. Second base, we probably have an advantage there. They have the advantage at short. I think they have the advantage as third right now because you know that J.D. Davis had an 8-something OPS with 300 batting average in 2019, and that is who he is. So if that's the case, then three-quarters of the infield, or the infield sort of a 50-50 split. Their outfield defense, with the possible exception of Dominic Smith, is really good. And if they don't have to sign George Springer, and I think that they're probably past that point now, but if they pick up Jackie Bradley Jr. and put him in center field, and they've got Conforto and Bradley Jr. out there, then their outfield defense is good. McCann's a solid defender. They have three guys at the top of the rotation who've been there, done that, and know how to get to the postseason. That's a really good ball club, folks. That's a really good ball club. And the Braves don't have that right now. They're short in various areas. Oh, we got prospects. Yeah, I know. I like these prospects too. But when you look around at winning now, the Mets moved ahead of the Braves simply by virtue of their rotation and the guys they picked up. Now, who won the trade long term? Probably still the Mets, because if they re-sign Lindor, as Jake said, and they keep him for the next 8 years, then they probably made a good deal there. Carrasco is going to be a good middle to back of the rotation guy. He's going to give you innings. Cookie's a good pitcher. So they're going to do well. And if they get to the postseason this year, then they've won the trade. And if they get to the postseason with DeGrom and Stroman and Carrasco, they have as good a chance as anybody in a tournament. So I looked around and said, well, who else is bidding? And if nobody else is bidding and you're selling, you take the bid you get. So that's what I think happened. And I congratulate the Mets fans. They're going to have fun this year. And I don't think they're done. You know, I wouldn't surprise me if Jackie Bradley Jr. ends up there. It wouldn't surprise me if they move for another bat somewhere along the line, and maybe even trade Nimmo a long way or Dom Smith. Dom Smith probably has legs somewhere as a DH. But I just think the Mets are going to be fun to watch if you're a Mets fan this year, and they're going to be trouble for the Braves.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know how you don't like this trade for the Mets. I think, you know, obviously you get one of the best players in the game. And like I said, I think they will re-sign him, which just makes this trade even better for the Mets. But Alan, what are your overall thoughts on the trade for the Mets? And do you think they're done?
Well, no, they're not done. Definitely. If the DH does actually happen, they're really set, because now you take your worst outfield defender between the guys that Fred mentioned and make him your DH, and then you're in great shape there. There's still some noise being made that they might be in on Springer. I would tend to suggest that for the same kind of reason that they chose James McCann as a catcher rather than Real Muto, that JBJ is more likely as their center fielder pick up. But who knows, this may still fall to them, because who Springer got for suitors? It's Toronto and New York right now. I don't know that anybody else is really after him or can really afford him at the kind of rates he wants. So he's got to make a decision here as to where to go for it. And nobody really wants to go to Toronto. So, I still think they have a shot at it. They seem to have signaled some willingness to exceed the luxury tax threshold. The Mets actually exceeding the luxury tax threshold. That's just foreign words to me. But for sure, they're not done. I still think they need to do something to help out their bullpen, unless they're really expecting these names that they've gotten over the last couple of years to bounce back a little bit. But at the same time, with that starting pitching they got, they've just made their bullpen better by adding Carrasco. He's going to go deep into games and give them length, and that's going to require less out of their bullpen than what they've had before. So, yeah, I think this was a perfect move for those guys. There was some noise about whether they might have been talking with the Cubs about Chris Bryant. Honestly, I'm not sure I see that. Maybe these talks weren't very serious. Yeah, J.D. Davis to Chris Bryant, not much of an upgrade, really. And Lindor as an upgrade, yeah, that's an upgrade. So they made the right move, and I can't argue with that. I will differ with Fred a little bit on the Ramirez thing. I do think that Cleveland is in fire sale mode, and this is where I was talking about the haves and have-nots before, because Cleveland may decide, if they get the right offer for Ramirez, that they'll go ahead and just tear it down to the studs and rebuild from there, because he does make the most money on the team now at $9 million for 2021, and they can get a lot for him. And I don't think they're going to compete in the AL Central as it is, between the White Sox and the Twins being above them. Even with expanded playoffs, I think it's a very far reach to suggest that they make the playoffs having sold off all the guys that they have, especially Lindor now. So I do think that there is at least the significant possibility that Ramirez is moved. Atlanta might be a player there, although I don't know that Anthopoulos is willing to give up the kind of capital that it would take to get him. But I would like to see him at least give it a shot and see what happens there. We'll never know if it's not successful, but I would like to at least see if they're asking the question, because I think it's did definitely be worth it as a response to what we've seen today. But right now you've got the elite of the National League as the Dodgers, the Padres, the Mets, and the Braves. And right now the Braves are just sort of sitting back and watching, and I'd like to see some action there. But yeah, the Mets did very well today, and they're not done. They still need a center fielder. They still need a couple more little pieces here and there, like a backup catcher probably. But other than that, they're looking good.
Yeah, I want to comment on a couple of things that you said there, Alan. You know, as far as the J-Ram thing goes, I'm kind of more on the side of Fred here, that I don't think Cleveland will move him. But that doesn't mean I don't think they will if the right offer comes along. But I think it's at the point where they'd have to be blown away. I think because that's he's fair. So cheap. He's so cheap. Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd have to be a huge overpay. And the problem with that right now is we've all been talking about, there's just not a lot of buyers out there right now. There's just not a lot of teams looking to pay money or to give up prospects in order to compete right now. Like you just said, Alan, I mean, there's four teams in the National League who are clearly above the rest. And then I think there's also Philly and Washington who think that they're in there. And could be, they have good players. I'm not trying to say they couldn't sneak in there, but I think they're definitely in a tier below. And it just seems like the rest of the National League has already kind of given up on the year. Four teams from the NL Central made the playoffs last year, and they all got taken out in the first round. And that should tell you something. And now that division just looks like such a joke right now. I mean, none of those teams seem to want to win it. So I just don't think there's a ton of buyers out there. I don't know who would pay the price tag that it would cost to get a guy like Jose Ramirez right now. I definitely don't think it's going to be Alex Anthopoulos based on, you know, his past with the Braves. He has shown he's not going to give up any top prospects yet. You know, I keep saying eventually he's going to have to. I don't know if Jose Ramirez is the guy that you do that for, but you know, he hasn't shown that willingness to give up prospects in a big trade. The other thing on the Mets, you know, are they done or not? I obviously don't think they are, and I think they still could be in on a guy like George Springer. I think he would certainly put them maybe even over the top. You know, the Padres have obviously done a lot of good things to put themselves in that top tier along with the Dodgers. I think the Braves are still in that top tier, assuming that they get a big bat. We don't know who that is, And it, like Fred said, there's just not a lot out there. But I have to keep the faith that Antopolis will find somebody some way, because they definitely now need at least one more big bat. But I think the Mets aren't done. I think they still have one big move left in them. I don't really know exactly what their payroll looks like. Looking on SpotRac right now, they have it around 160, 170 million. So there's not a ton of room there.
I saw 177 earlier today after Lindor.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure if they're accounting for the 24 million of Cano in that number or not.
They're not. No, they're not. Because Cano's money's off the books this year. I have them at 179.5. That's including their 15K for the, 177.5. That's actually including their 15K for the player's benefit fund. So,
That number is with Cano or without?
It's without Cano because he doesn't count. They do get the money from Seattle. But Cano does not get paid. They get the money from Seattle because the contract is the contract.
Wow.
But Cano's not on the books this year. He's back next year. But this year he's not there. It cost them nothing this year.
Yeah. And that may be the only thing that holds them up from doing a long-term deal like Springer's, because they still do have Cano on the books for 2 or 3 more years, maybe.
Two more. $24 million for 22 and 23.
Yeah. So they still have that to think about, because once that comes back on the books next year, they'll be up around that $200 million range. But
they're only at $89 million right now for next year.
Okay. Who's coming off the books for them next year?
Syndergaard comes off.
But you got to think, if they are going to sign Lindor, he's going to get a big jump from what he's making now, too. And I'm figuring that they're going to sign Lindor, and he'll get close to $30 million, maybe.
So. Yeah, probably. But again, I'm just looking. They don't have, they'll get, Stroman comes off the books next year. That's 18.9 comes off. Familia comes off. There's 12. There's Lindor's money. The, Betances comes off. That's a $1 million vesting option he's not going to make. So, there's 20 million, 30 million, 31 million off the books right there. Syndergaard's either going to have to, he's going to be a free agent. Matz is gone. That's 5. Conforto is going to get a raise probably. He'll be a free agent if he doesn't. Edwin Diaz is gone at 5 million, and so on and so forth. All their big money, aside from Cano, is tied up in DeGrom, and James McCann, Trevor May.
And eventually then Lindor.
Yeah, I bet, but I'm just saying.
That's kind of just reassuring my thought that they're not done, because it sounds like they have plenty of money for next year already, even with Cano coming back on the book. So I don't think that holds them back from doing another big contract like Springer if they feel like that's the right move for them. So
yeah, because they're 30 under the luxury tax threshold.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I think, like I said, I think they still have at least one more big move in them. And I think they kind of need one more big move as well. Or they don't need it, but it certainly would be nice, like I said, to kind of put them over the top with getting Lindor as well. All right.
Normally I would say they should flip a contract, but they don't have anybody to flip. I mean, when you look at them, they don't have anybody they just signed May. They just signed McCann. They just got Carrasco. They don't have any big deals that's actually worth flipping unless they can make somebody take Dela Matanzas. I just don't see or maybe they can con somebody to take a Familia, but they need bullpen guys. And, I just don't, they've got like 34.5 to hit the base level of the luxury tax. And even slightly over that doesn't hurt them. So, they can do it. They can do it if they want. I think they're more likely to get 2 players than to go big for Springer. Because, you can pick up a Jackie Bradley Jr. and a, Jock Peterson, really nice.
And then some guy named Green for the bullpen, perhaps.
Yeah, or Brad Hand. or
Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, there's guys out there for the bullpen, and you know, Hand, they wouldn't buy him at $10 million. Maybe if they can get him at 2 for $18, then all of a sudden their bullpen doesn't look as bad.
Yeah, so that kind of leads us into the next discussion that I wanted to get into, and about the NL East, and it was actually one of the responses I got to my tweet looking for questions tonight. Stephen_Malone7 said, how much of a cluster is the NL East going to be next year? And, you know, he's right. You know, I mean, it was already looking like it was going to be a cluster before. Like I said, you know, I felt like the Braves were still the favorites, but, you know, the Nationals, they traded for Josh Bell this offseason already. Not that that's a huge move, but it just, you know, signals that they're still going for it and they have the core to do so. I mean, when you got Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin in your starting rotation, you know, you're going to win a lot of games. You got Soto, who's one of the best hitters in the game. You got Trey Turner at the top of the lineup. So they have a nice core there. They just need to fill out their lineup a little bit, but you know, they're going to be in the mix. The Phillies, will still be in the mix. And then obviously the Mets, you know, with the move they made today, firmly put themselves near the top of the league as well. So, you know, Alan, I'll go to you first. You know, I know you kind of wrote about it already today after the trade for Lindor, but you know, how tough is this NL East going to be?
It depends on what the Nationals end up doing. There was a rumor a couple of days ago that they're looking at Corey Kluber. Of course, a lot of people are looking at Corey Kluber. If they were to get him, that would certainly solidify their rotation quite a bit, no matter what happens with Strasburg's return. Other than that, I still don't know what they are. I'm thinking right now they're probably a third or fourth place club, but it's hard to say. And if you've got a decent rotation, you're always in ball games. The Phillies are still looking like a fifth place team. And that's crazy to say considering what they've done and what they've added. I mean, they said they wanted to do stupid money a couple of years ago, and they did. They put themselves in a hole that they can't get out of because of stupid money. And now they don't have a catcher in Real Muto unless he comes crawling back and begging for some sort of contract, since nobody else is going to give him one, it seems. So if you got those guys on the bottom, the Marlins are going to be a feisty wild card kind of a club again. So they could make a lot of noise for everybody, but right now it looks like the Mets and Braves at the top, Marlins and Nationals in the middle, and the Phillies at the bottom. I don't really see anything else going on there that would be of any significance unless the Nationals start making some moves here. But again, so far, hardly anybody's making any moves except the Mets, and that's just part of the lack of drama of this offseason.
Yeah. Fred, true or false, are all five teams in the NL East better than any team in the NL Central?
True. I think the only team that might have that has a path back are the Cardinals, really.
Yes.
They have pitching, and you know, that they were to get a couple of bats, they were to sign a Jock Peterson, for example, and find a way to convince the DH to play where they can keep Carpenter from having to wear a glove. And, you know, I think the Cardinals are probably pick of the litter right now, but you could see, you remember when the Padres got to into the World Series is just above 500. I could see the Cardinals being the division champs at 84 game wins. Everybody going, wow, somebody won that division. But I think at least four of the teams in the East are better than the Cardinals right now, and better than everybody in that division right now. And, you know, these three of them are better than the Cardinals. But I think it's pretty much true.
Yeah, and it just shows why you can't have regional scheduling. There has to be a balanced schedule. It's just not fair to the other teams. Like I said, when you had four teams from the NL Central make the playoffs last year, and clearly they didn't deserve to be there. I think there were better teams in other divisions. So hopefully, you know, that doesn't happen again, and I don't think it will. And I don't think Major League Baseball wants that to happen again either. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be a fight in the NL East. It's going to be tough for the Braves, but somebody's got to win these games. And, you know, for me personally, I hope that a lot of teams aren't picking the Braves, because they haven't picked them the last 3 years, and the Braves still continue to win the division. So, you know, I still like their chances. I still like the depth of the Braves. Again, as we keep talking, I think they just need to find that big bat, find a couple of bullpen arms, and I think they'll be okay. All right, last thing I kind of want to talk about tonight before we get out of here is just, you know, the idea of the Braves needing to respond. We had a couple of questions obviously come up after the Lindor trade. Jordan Harper asked, why are the Braves not doing anything? And then Coach Shaw said, are we going to answer the New York Mets move? So, Fred, I'll go back to you. Why are the Braves not doing anything, and do they need to respond to what the Mets did today?
Well, they will tell you that they'll say, well, no, we don't respond to what other teams do. We have a plan, and we're going to stick to it. And, yeah, I've got some land, coastland, all just outside of El Paso that I'd like to sell you. They're going to have to do something if they intend to be winners. We can challenge like we are. We are probably good enough to stay in the fight, but I think today puts the Mets ahead of us. And I do that because I don't trust Riley in third base. I don't know who's playing left field. I don't know what to get out of the center fielder. I don't think Darno can do for 162 games what he did for 60 games last year. I don't think it's reasonable to ask of a catcher. Yes, Ozzy could have a better year. Yes, Ronnie could have a better year. But you still got a third of your team there that you don't depend on. So, yes, I think they must do something. The question becomes what? There's not much out there that really provides what we need, which is another bat to protect Freddie, and probably two right now, because I don't think the lineup is just deep enough. Maybe Riley wakes up one morning and remembers how to hit. I don't know, but he hasn't shown me that yet. But I think we're at least one bat, maybe two away. I'm not sure. I hate to say this, but I'm not sure about closing out the games. I mean, I think Will Smith can do it. I think that there's guys out there that can do it. Chris Martin. I'm just not sure that they will do it. Being able to and actually doing it, different things. So I think that they do need to do something. I think they need to make a response. I think if they don't find something significant, fans need to be upset about that. The idea that I like prospects too. I do. I like prospects because, yeah, they're young and they're great stuff. But when you get by our first three or four minor league prospects, there ain't much. Okay, there's a lot of lottery tickets there. Everybody says, well, I would never trade Drew Waters for anything. Well, that's a mistake, because Drew Waters is nothing yet. He may be something someday, but right now he is a lottery ticket. Maybe he ends up being better than Pache. I don't know. But right now, he's not ready for the majors. And if it took him to get Arenado, I would shake your hand and buy him an airplane ticket. But I don't think that's the way that, as you said, this is not what AA's done since he's been here. Now, the idea that he only does one-year deals is fake too. Is false too, because he's done a lot of multiple-year deals. Some of them not very good, but he has done a lot of multiple-year deals, and he's made some good choices out there. But he's made some stinking bad trades, and I just am not comfortable with the roster the way it is now. As a get me to October and put me in the playoffs deal with a chance to win. So I think he has to do something. I would go get Nick Castellanos. I think Nick Castellanos fills part of that bill really well. Everybody's happy with bringing Ozuna back. Castellanos is at least as good as Ozuna defensively. He's going to cost $3 or $4 million less for a couple more years. He's probably going to hit as well as Ozuna was going to hit. And we know it's a fixed cost, and we know the Reds are dumping salary. So go pick up Castellanos and stick him in left field and hope Pache can cover him up out there like he would have to cover up Ozuna. But other than that, you know, you look around the league, you say, well, where are you going to go get somebody? I don't know. I heard talk that Brett Gardner may not be on the Yankees radar this year. If he's not, you know, that's the kind of guy we might end up with. But it's not enough. It's not enough. If you want to win, you've got to win. And, you know, you can only sit on the dock and wait for that ship to come in for so long before it gets dark and all that serves the tide. I just think, you know, you could waste the years of Acuna and Albies and the next years of Freeman. You could waste those by not getting somebody on board to fill the gap. I hate to be Debbie Downer, but that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Brett. I think that's the way a lot of Braves fans are feeling right now. We were so close last year. I mean, one win away from getting to the World Series. The World Series, I think we would have won had we gotten there. And now it seems like the Mets are passing us by. Mets and the Padres as well are passing us by. You know, and Anthopoulos isn't doing much of anything. Like we said, he made the two moves early in getting Morton and Smiley, and then we see the Padres go out and get Snell and Darvish, and you wonder, you know, why couldn't we have done those moves? And I'm not saying we could have. I don't know what we would have had to offer, you know, better than the Padres. But, you know, now it makes the moves for Morton and Smiley, which I didn't understand the Smiley move to begin with, but I at least understood the Morton one as a veteran, you know, type guy in the rotation. But makes those moves seem really dull, in all honesty. And, yeah, as a Braves fan, it, you know, kind of stinks, be honest, to sit here and you see teams going one direction and the Braves are just sitting idle. Now, again, there's still several weeks left. There's still a lot of free agents on the board. But as, you know, Fred has mentioned, we've all mentioned several times, there's not much out there, you know, other than bringing back Ozuna, which I worry, are we overreacting to 60 games from Ozuna? You know,
yes,
I don't
know. Is the answer to that. Yes, we are. Yeah. We are overreacting to that. With 60 games, he's a streaky player, and he's going to have slumps that are going to make us wonder why we spent the money on him.
Yeah, so that concerns me a little too, because we give him a big contract and we figure out that was just a sample size of 60 games, and he's really the guy that he was for the last, you know, 3 years in St. Louis, which, not a terrible player, but certainly not what you'd be paying for. But Alan, I'll go to you lastly here. You know, your thoughts on why the Braves aren't doing anything and when are they going to answer the Mets, or are they?
I'll try to be quick because I know we're running a little long, but what I wrote today, I fully believe last year, the Dodgers almost 11 months ago now went out and made the big deal to get Mookie Betts. He was the superstar. He played like a superstar. He won them the World Series. The Dodgers would not have gotten past the Braves had not Mookie Betts not been on their roster. The Mets have just made that kind of a move. Yes, Lindor is not quite the player Betts is, but he is now their superstar. He is the guy that they went after to make the blockbuster deal, to go all in to do this. The Braves, we've talked about this a lot, have their window wide open right now. 4 to 5 years, they've got prime opportunity to go deep into the playoffs, to win a World Series, but they need that extra X factor, and they need to go find it, whether it's an Arenado or Chris Bryant, George Springer, you name the player, I don't care who it is. They need that guy. To put them over the top, to be their the big all-in, to be their Fred McGriff acquisition. This is the kind of thing that needs to happen because they're primed and ready to go. It's time to do that. And if the Braves don't do that, they're going to be the fourth of those four elite teams in the National League. That's unfortunately a reality. I don't even care that they could have had maybe a Darvish, or they could have had a Carrasco or whatever. The fact they got Smiley and Morton, okay, that's good. The fact that they've got an offense that can overcome things is what they need now, and that'll mitigate any concerns you ever have about the rotation. We just simply need a rotation that shows up every day and pitches. That's certainly what we didn't have in 2020. Now we need the bat. Now we need the superstar. Now we need the marquee player. And that's what has to happen to make this whole ship go. The Dodgers did it last year. The Mets just did it today. Let's see what Alex Anthopoulos has up his sleeve.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect way to end this podcast, Alan. I think that's a great point. It's time for the Braves to step up. This is their window to do something. It's time for them to step up and make that move. So we'll end it right there. I know we've gone a little long. I appreciate you hanging in there with us. Again, make sure that you subscribe to the Tomahawk Take podcast. Make sure that you check out the website, tomahawktake.com. We appreciate all your support on the website and on the podcast. I appreciate all the comments on Twitter as well. There are some questions out there that I plan to get to from Christopher Garrett, Patrick McCarthy, and T. Cole. Some really good questions that hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about next week, unless something big happens. But the way things are going for the Braves, I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. But again, appreciate all of you. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and y'all have a great week.
This has been the quarantined first 2021 edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast, a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of their participants. Minute Media disavows all of them. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Zigzag. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Thanks for tuning into the podcast today, and just to assure all of you, we have it on good authority that you can't catch any diseases by listening. We'll see you out for the next inning.